Hi, you're listening to Kate
and Catherine,
and we're going to show you how to find your Prince Charming so that you can finally live happily ever after, forever and ever.
No.
We are definitely not going to do that.
We are sick of that story, and it's a lie.
It is a lie.
You're listening to The New Truth, a modern woman's guide to extraordinary love.
We are going to show you how the fairy tale love story stops you from experiencing the love you truly desire.
Listen to hear how to break free from sacrifice and struggle in relationship.
And learn the new truth about love in a way that you've never heard it before.
We're so happy you're here. Keep listening.
Hello, beautiful. Welcome to the New Truth Podcast, Season 2. Episode 24, The Truth About Weddings. We are like 200 and something. We should calculate season one and season. Do you know how many episodes are in season one?
I feel like it was 205.
Okay. So technically we're almost at 230 episodes of the New Truth Podcast, which is amazing. And we've definitely touched on weddings many times, but we have not gone straight for it. So I feel super fired up, which is your line. I feel super fired up for today to have this conversation. I think I could write a book trilogy or and beyond on my opinions about weddings and how things are done. But before we get into this week's episode, we just want to say, no matter who you love, we support all love.
Happy
all
Pride
forms
Month.
Of love. Happy Pride Month. And if you are about to get married, because it is wedding season, this episode is delivered with tenderness and love. And even though, as is every episode, even though we can get really fired up about a lot of topics, our intention is always to empower you. It's to bring you back home and remind you of what's possible and to show you a new way to
like
show you that
and challenge you and challenge your beliefs and what you have thought to be true, right? Like that's it. We're here to challenge the narrative, right? To shake up what the script has been, right? And give you a new possibility.
Yes.
That's why
which
I
is
take this on.
And it's so wild. I just want to share some proof of magic, as me and my last immersion group called it. Magique is magic in French. Today, Catherine came to our conversation wanting to do an episode about weddings, and I wrote a chapter of my book today about weddings. So really, really wild timing. But I have so many opinions, but I feel like quite an expert on the topic. While I've not been married myself, I'm 43 years old. I've been a bridesmaid 11 times.
I mean, that's so insane.
And I was a groomsman once. And the first thing I'll say is being a groomsman is
it's way more fun.
So much fucking better than being a bridesmaid. I'm like, being a bridesmaid is my worst nightmare. And I did a great job of it back in the day when my saboteur was in full throttle. I was an amazing shapeshifter, people pleaser, self-sacrificer, fantasy addict. Oh, I'm so excited for you. And I was always like, I remember like putting on the face, putting on the smile, putting on the excitement, even though underneath, for some reason, I didn't understand why, because I'm a people person. I love gatherings. I love events. I didn't understand why it actually wasn't really fun for me. Well, I guess I wasn't present in myself, in my body, in my heart. But I used to get fake excited about all the things, all the wedding showers, the engagement party, and I remember being so overwhelmed with how expensive it was. One time I was in a wedding party, and every time they tell you what dress to wear, they choose the dress based on their colors. And I think every single experience I had, the dress was chosen for me. And I fucking hated it every time. And a few of the times I had to pay for it. And I was like, wait, what? I have to pay for the dress? And these were people that had money. It's not like they didn't have money. I had to pay for the dress that I hate that I have to wear and I'm only going to wear one time. There were so many things like that. And so the time I got to be a groomsman, which was for my brother, And it's my brother. I like was my brother's grooms and I still didn't have to do anything. I kept being like, are you sure? Is there anything I can help with? Is there anything? No. We got some whiskey. Like, we're just going to sit around and hang out. What is this? What it's like to be a dude? I think I want to be a dude in my next life.
Wow. Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. And why I wanted to talk about this. And again, I'm just going to keep coming back to like having a daughter now, like I'm just different. I'm different. I'm thinking about things differently and all the things that I wish. Okay. This is going to be a sidebar for a second. There's a line for me around like, oh, you know, when you're young, you're figuring things out, you make mistakes, and then you're older and you wish you did things differently. And how there's a part of me that's just like, there are mistakes that don't have to be made. Mm-hmm. Like I'm really stepping into, I'm retiring. I'm not a coach. I'm a mentor. And stepping into like a world without mentorship, like women don't have mentors, guides, wise women, crones saying, oh, my sweet girl, you don't have to get married if you don't want to. Oh, my sweet girl, all that money that you want to spend, I promise you, you're going to want it for other things. Like, oh, my sweet girl, you want to get married? Here are the questions you need to be asking. Here's what you need to look for. Because so much of today's episode, you know, both Kate and I want to share, like, we want you to have empowered partnership. Like, we want you to have permission to know you don't have to get married. You don't have to have kids. You don't have to do life in any way, shape, or form the way society has told you you're supposed to. And if you want a relationship, let's have a healthy, thriving, equitable one, right? And so I'm really sitting with, wow, I feel like I know a lot of women that wish they did their wedding differently. Like, not just marry the wrong person, obviously, right? We've shared about that hundreds of times. Like, how many of your clients, right, are like, I'm walking down the aisle knowing I'm about to make a mistake. But I'm like, I have clients, and myself included, that knowing what I know now, I just wish I did my wedding differently. Not that I married someone else, but that I did my wedding differently. And I don't think that has to be the case. So when we, you know, the truth about weddings is it's a capitalist industry. Wait, did you write down the number? Was it, it was 21 billion.
Oh, it's projected by 2030. It's going to be an $80 billion industry.
I mean, Mark, you are marketed to make you believe you need a big fancy wedding, a big fancy dress, that thousands, tens of thousands of dollars for one day of your life. And there's research that says the more expensive your wedding, the less likely you are to stay married, by the way, right? The more expensive your ring, the less likely you are to stay married. Is that what you're going to say?
No, I was going to say, and how many women have a hard time investing in themselves, hiring a mentor or like going to a transformational retreat, and yet they'll blindly spend $80,000 on a fairy tale fantasy wedding, which, by the way, I've been on the backside of many, as I've said, they're all productions. It's a performance.
It's a performance.
And then everyone says the same thing at the end. That was the best day of our lives. And I remember back in the day being like, what? This? I was here. You were stressed out. You were anxious. You were running around and then making sure everything was perfect. And then you were worried about everyone else's experience and worried about saying hi to everyone. Then you got blind drunk so you didn't have to feel all the anxiety anymore, danced your face off and woke up hungover the next day. And that was the best day of your life? What? And also, like, what? The best day of your life's when you're 25?
25, I know. I'm also in the how many women don't, like the core of our work together is helping you know yourself, like helping you have permission to be yourself in a way that your parents should have been supporting you to be in the truest expression of who you are. And how many women make life-altering decisions, like who you marry, like what you spend your money on, based on what they think they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, looking back, I can see the places where I absolutely self-abandoned because it was something that Andrew wanted, but not something that I wanted. So it was like, well, okay, he wants it. Rather than making decisions together and having the courage to speak up and say, that doesn't feel right for me. You know, I just had a spectacularly phenomenal, beautiful client who I supported many years ago in finding her partner. And now they're getting married. And she just reached out so beautifully because what she wanted support with was sorting through the noise. Mm-hmm. Like that's how she presented, like, hey, I just want a few sessions to navigate how to have a wedding that's authentic to me, how to maintain my voice, right? How to have my voice, how to not take responsibility for everyone else's experience on the day. Like it was, I loved working with her in this short container just around this, right? Because it's loud out there.
Yeah.
Like we say this on every episode, it is in your face loud about what kind of woman you should be and what you should look like and who you should marry and how your wedding should be. And it's interesting. I looked up the history of weddings, and how it began is in the 1920s when technological advances like movies and radios ushered in celebrity culture, because this is still where we are, 2024. It's fucking worse now. But it was as soon as the average person could watch a celebrity wedding, then they said to themselves, oh, I want that. And that's how it was born. Like, that's how we got here. It's, oh, that must be what you're supposed to have. Celebrity culture, soulless, spiritless culture, image obsessed culture. And every episode we say you must have a life that feels good to you and stop caring about how it looks to other people, because women are indoctrinated to believe that what you look like is for other people, that what your life is for other people, not for you.
And that's why it's a performance. That's why even I have friends that are deeply spiritual that are getting married for all the right reasons, that are connected to their partner, that know how to navigate conflict, that have, you know, it's coming from a really deep intrinsic place that this is just the next phase of a relationship. And even then they're still like worried about other people and other people getting there. And it has to be this way because this person might be offended. Like, it is so hard to move away from it. That's why I thought for a very long time I would just elope if I were to ever make a choice to get married. And I honestly don't know. I don't know if I will, but I would have it just be about me and my partner, because that's what I noticed all of those years. You know, I can make light and fun. And the truth is, most of my friends I went to high school with, they're still married and they actually are quite aligned to their partners. Their lives, you know, very different than mine. They've been married since they were in high school. It feels like that to me, since they're in their 20s. And they all have kids that are, you know, in high school and tweens and teens now. But that's the thing that I saw, is that the whole thing was for everybody else's experience, everyone else's approval, everyone else's comfort, everyone else's being included, everyone else's feelings. And this thing, like that I kept, and this is back in my 20s, like this is, God, 20 years ago, I didn't know what I know now, but my intuition did, my inner guidance did. Something felt off about the whole thing. I remember all of it feeling off. And I kept thinking, okay, this one's going to be good because they're fun. And they're that, like, oh, this couple's going to try, it's going to be a fun one. But they were all the same. It was like a zombie apocalypse. I mean, my least favorite movie on planet Earth is Groundhog Day. The same day, like, that is absolutely my worst nightmare. The same day over and over and over again. And that's what the weddings felt like. I would sit there and be like excited and in this fantasy about the next one. And then I go to the next one and be like, oh my God, it's the same. The dress is like slightly different. Maybe the venue is slightly different. Sometimes it was the same fucking venue, the script, the structure, the what they did when and who said what and the speeches and the this and the that. And it just felt so canned, which to my soul is death, which is obviously why I do what I do. But I just remember feeling like bored and feeling like I couldn't feel the lot, and then people would be crying and it would be this big, but it felt like a big performance. And I remember one of the times standing at the front as a bridesmaid and being like, why the fuck am I standing here? Like, what, people are just staring at me and I'm like supposed to cry? Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, that it is a performance because you're literally standing at the front. And so this makes me think of a woman who we both know quite deeply, who did the reclamation with me a couple of years ago. She's the number one fan of the reclamation program and community. And she, when I first started working with her, she was in absolute agony over being single. And she had three weddings that coming summer. And she was feeling so anxious about being single at these three weddings. And so we did some work in the reclamation around her showing up at these weddings in her heroin, connected to her body, connected to her heart in the present moment, not in the stories and the ideas that her saboteur mind, conditioned mind was telling her that there's something wrong with you because you are single, that you are different than everyone else. Like, why our fucking relationship status is so important is, I mean, that is patriarchy. That is the system. That is the fantasy scripted story. And so her practice was to get really connected to herself and just show up and let herself show up with her heart open, show up in her joy, show up in her however she was. And she ended up at the front. She was a bridesmaid at the first wedding. She stood at the front and she was bawling during the vows, not because she was listening to their vows, but because she was telling herself vows. She decided that day to actually marry and make a vow to herself while she was at the front. And this became such a profound conversation inside of the reclamation community, because it's like, that's exactly it. So a bunch of girls, maidens, whether you're 40 and getting married or 20 and getting married, maidens go out there looking for somebody to rescue them, somebody to fix them, somebody to fill some role, somebody to play the part. And they go and they say a vow and their father gives them away, which we in today's culture, we think that's romantic, but that actually comes from, we used to be properties of our fathers. Then we became properties of the husband. So your father giving you away is actually because you used to be property of a man and now you're property of an, like, that is, I mean, in itself, there's nothing romantic about that. Oh, he asked my dad's hand in marriage. Why is it your fucking dad's decision if you get married? What? Again, property of your father to property of this man and taking his name and all the things. So the fact that what this story highlighted is that, and it, this moment changed her life. I mean, she's a very different person now. Yes. Making that choice, she now is like living her best life, dating many people, meeting all these amazing humans, like conscious relationships, just absolutely the happiest she's ever been. Because she decided to change the narrative and to actually say a vow to herself. And she did it again when she, like, she, a few months later, I think, where she was, had a ceremony for herself. Like, how crazy is it that there's not one rite of passage that women go through where we make a vow and a devotion to ourselves, unless they come work with me or with you or with someone like us. There's no rite of passage we go through, but we go from being a fucking maiden and someone's daughter to just giving ourselves away to some dude or woman or whoever. And we make a promise for the rest of our lives and make promises to all our future versions of ourselves blindly out of a complete fantasy, because that's all we've been taught to do. And nowhere do we stop and say, wait, what am I going to promise to me first? I shall not abandon you ever. No, we abandon ourselves for someone else right out of the gates. And that's what we're taught to do.
And the wedding is all about the bride, by the way. Right? It's not about the husband. It's not.
That's why being a groomsman is easy.
Right. And the devastation for me is that, like, that becomes the little girl's dream, because mm-hmm. that's the story that's the only way to be special.
Yeah.
Right. And it's that as soon as I belong to someone else, then I have purpose. Right. As soon as I'm giving to someone else, then I have purpose in the form of a husband or a child. Right. As soon as I, get the only time I get attention, right? Like there's all these memes on Instagram sharing, right? Like that, you know, a woman's like ran a marathon, wrote a book, started my own business. It's like 5 likes, right? Got engaged, 500,000, you know, likes. And I'm listening to you and just in this like nowhere is a woman taught that her life is for her. Like nowhere. Right. Yeah. That you belong to yourself, that like you are in charge. You are the main character of your life. And if and how the obsession with love, right? Western culture, right? Obsession with love. We think love is all you need. Right. So I want to come in now remembering that women get married so blindly that they've never even talked about anything with the person they're marrying. About values, about children, about how you want to live, right? About how you want to spend your money, about whether or not you're going to share your finances, right? And how many women blindly get married to someone who controls everything, thinking, oh, that's what's going to give me. It's going to give me security, rather than no, he's going to literally take everything from you and make it so that you can't live because you don't have your own money, your own authority, your own voice. And that's the thing that devastates me about this culture is how many women are stuck, like how many mothers are stuck because they don't have power and they're afraid to leave, right? Yeah. Like if you've married someone that you're afraid of, you know, I saw someone posted the other day, just, I don't even remember who it was, but she just posted, I've never been afraid of my husband in case someone needs to hear that. It's like, and she was like, I've been married 15 years. I've never been afraid. And how many women are afraid? You know, every single day and how, yes, we don't know better, right? Like this is our culture. So I'm in that place of like, just so much compassion for how we're set up to fail. We're set up to not be in our power. And that, you know, when I think of Dr. Nadine's episode, it's like, what's a trauma bond? Like a trauma bond is unequal power. Like that's how you know you're in a trauma bond. And you won't know if you're in a healthy relationship if you don't ever use your voice. How do you make decisions together? Does your voice matter? Right? Dr. Nadine said, how do you know someone loves you? They can hear you. They hear you when you share your thoughts, your feelings, your opinions, your boundaries, your needs. Someone is listening. And how many women in the name of getting married, you know, the compulsion, this is Alison Armstrong. You know, she says the compulsion to get married is very different than desire to partner. Mm-hmm. And now Catherine Danielli is the compulsion to have a baby is very different than the desire and the appropriateness of responsibility of what it takes to raise a child.
Yeah.
Compulsions are unconscious. Compulsions are from wounding. Compulsions are from fear. They're not truth.
Yes. Oh my God. And I, as you're saying that, I'm just thinking about all the women who make both of those choices because they think it'll make their relationship better.
This is child abuse, just FYI. Having a child to save your marriage is child abuse.
And there's nothing that will make your relationship harder than having a child. Nothing. And I think like this is the fantasy. This is the fairy tale. It's like, oh, it'll get better when, oh, our relationship's either boring or mundane, or we're fighting all the time, or it's toxic. It feels horrible. Okay, well, let's plan a wedding. Like, and often people propose out of like this grand, and even that proposals. Oh God, like it's got to be a good story. And it's like some big fantasy. So if it's got to be a good story, if you ever hear that thought, like, oh, I don't want to meet someone online because it's got to be a good story. For who? For him. A good story means it's for everybody else. So that's the performative life we're talking about. This shit runs so deep and we don't even know. You can be like, oh, I'm not a fantasy addict. I never dreamed of a white wedding dress and a Prince Charming. Everyone is. The Instagram, I mean, everything is a performance. Life, like we no longer take a photo of, I'm in Spain right now. We don't come to the south of Spain and take a photo of the sea for the photo of the sea for your scrapbook later. You take the photo of the sea for everybody else's viewing of it, right? You take the photo of the Acropolis for everyone else seeing that you went to the Acropolis, or the picture of the pyramids, everyone taking selfies at the pyramids. You know, one, oh, and you go to the pyramids now, it's not, everyone's people in deep reverence, soaking up this ancient medicine in this profound place in the world. They are on their phones taking selfies for the performance of everyone else. So that whole engagement has got to be big romantic. Our story has to be romantic. This, all of that shit is the fantasy. And this, it is having women walk blindly. Dr. Amanda, the midlife muse, said something. We had her on early this season, if you haven't heard. She said something about Botox, how she has similar opinions to us about Botox. That she said, I feel like women are walking through traffic. So it's the same with all fantasy. It's like they're walking through traffic blindly going, what's happening? I don't know what's happening. Why are the, and the cars are like about to hit them. And they're like in the middle of traffic, blindly walking through it. That's what it is when these young parts, well, young wounded, like you said, young wounded parts of us are making life choices, life
changing,
getting married and committing to someone for the rest of your life and not considering, wait, why are we doing this? That's my biggest thing. Like, ask yourself why. Why do I need this? What part of me is choosing this thing? Is it because I am not satiated right now and I want the next thing? Is it because everyone else is doing it? Is it because I don't want to let other people down? Is it because I think it's the only option? Is it because I think that's what you're supposed to do to take your relationship to the next level? Like, I think about, I know I've talked about this before, but I think a long time ago, that idea of when we're in the old paradigm, it's the timeline and the relationship, everything in the relationship is based on the timeline of what's next, check that box, do that thing, do that thing, do that thing. And people are on the timeline so disconnected from what's actually happening in the relationship. So on one hand, they're either missing the beautiful phases because they're so busy planning the future and rushing to get to the next phase that they're missing the beautiful right now experience. And on the other hand, they're missing all the boulders that are being dropped that are like, this is not the right direction for you. This does not feel good. This is not a healthy relationship. What is the quality of your relationship? And I would say one of the biggest ways to know the quality of your relationship is when conflict arises, when your wounds are activated, because when we're activated, it is our wounds from childhood, from our whole lives. We're never upset for the reason you think. There are roots to every single time you are activated in your relationship. Do you have a massive blowout fight and then sweep it under the rug and pretend everything's fine? Do you have silent fights and ignore each other and don't say anything, but keep planning your wedding or keep planning the future, keep planning the next? Like, this is what is constantly happening. And I think that coming back to what you said about the how it started in the 1920s, celebrity weddings, I was thinking about the royal family weddings and how people's weddings, their rings, everything, everyone tries to make it look like they're rich actually in weddings. Like, everything's so over the top, everything's so glamorous, everything's so extra. And that is so much worse now because of social media. And when my parents got married, their wedding was super humble and cute and like, and down to earth. My parents are the cutest and they have an amazing marriage still. And they have a really healthy relationship. And, but like most weddings now, it's this giant show facade. And like, are you even connected to what you're doing and why? That's it. That's what the new truth is. Like, have you even listened to your inner guidance? What is your gut saying? It is shocking how many women get married when their gut is screaming no. And the no might not be like, it's all the women I've worked with, it's not always the wrong guy, but it's like, it's just not a yes. And they're doing it, like you said with you, they're doing it for the other person or because they got asked or because they were chosen, because they're special, because, but your life is yours, and that maiden part of you, that kid part of you, is going to think someone else is going to lead it for you. Like, somebody else is in charge of it. Someone else is going to make you safe. Someone else is going to make you happy. Someone else. But like, you are actually the only one who can make new choices. And if you experience chronic anxiety, look under the hood of your car, of your vehicle, your body, because there is some inner guidance that's not being listened to.
Right. So the two things I want to say is, one, we're taught that that's love. We're taught that grandiosity, mm-hmm. grand gesture, yes. the bigger, the better, capitalism, by the way, mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. fucking love. Mm-hmm. Like, if he really loved me, he'd get me a big ring. Like, what? Yeah. What? So that's the first devastation for me, is that our world doesn't know love. And like, women are not taught about love. And something I think about every single day is I'm teaching my daughter about love, right? I'm teaching my daughter about how to know if someone really loves her, right? And what kind, friendships included. Like, every day is filling her up so much so that her self-esteem is so high that she won't be swayed by all of this crap. Right. Because the thing that kills me is the thing that kills me about the fairy tale, you've heard me say for 200 and almost 30 episodes, right, is that it's the magic's been taught that it's outside of you, or that love is grandiosity. And that's how you fall for narcissists. And then on the other side of that is we have such hidden shame around marriage counseling. Like, oh, we love each other so much, we don't need that. Or we don't need to read a book about marriage, or we don't need to have those conversations. We'll just figure it out. Like, buckle. Are you kidding me? Like, that's the scariest thing I've ever heard, when someone's just like, we'll figure it out on the way down, when like you're crashing, like when you're literally falling from the sky, you don't figure it out. You buckle up with this parachute. Right. And this fantasy love, that it just makes it all about how you feel rather than the tangible skill of, are we sharing what our expectations of marriage are? Are we sharing what our beliefs about marriage are? Are we sharing about our desires? Something I am grieving, that we are navigating it well. And as an entrepreneur, I needed to have a conversation about what was going to happen when I had a baby. And I didn't have that conversation. And it is a problem that I didn't have that conversation. And we're cleaning up a big mess right now as I step way back in my work, you know, that I did know I was going to do, you know, but the, you know, everyone should be going to marriage counseling and reading books together, because that's what adults do. Okay. Adults actually prepare for big things. I don't go to the playground without a bag of snacks for my kid, because I know her needs are going to be that she's going to need water and food, and she's going to get hungry. Right. Okay. There are things that need to happen as adults that we need to know how to talk about, that we need to feel empowered around. And women have been like, patriarchy sends the message, right, that you are a helpless damsel who needs a man to save you. So then you don't even feel like you have a right to ask for anything, right? Or a right to put your foot down. And most of the time, the couples that are shameless around reading books together, right, going to workshops together, asking the big questions together. Like, I had one of my clients was really cool, because there's all this free stuff online, like how to talk about money with your partner. You can print out a worksheet. Like, one of my clients who in preparing for marriage reached out, they did a few sessions for me, and I was blown away by each of their willingness and courage to have the difficult conversations. And were they fumbling? Yes. Did they have childhood wounds that they were dealing with? You freaking bet. And they were having the hard conversations. Right. They were taking it on. Right. And that's like, we think love is the, we'll figure it out on the way down. Like, no, yeah. Love is, I love you enough to have this conversation. I love myself enough to need to know how we're going to navigate this together. Right. And there were many things that I talked about with Andrew around preparing to have a kid, but many things I didn't, you know, and I'm paying for it. You know, like, we're figuring it out on the way down, which doesn't feel good, by the way. Right. And any woman who's been on the other side of, wow, I wish I had that conversation with my partner that I'm now divorcing. Right. Or even not, just so much that we're willing to not know. And that's what I think of about the women being blind, walking in traffic. It's like, you've actually, if you're paying attention, you've been taught the message that that's how you should be living. Because if we were all paying, I've said this 100 times, if we were all really awake and paying attention, there is shit in this world that would not be happening. Yeah. Because we as women would be saying, no, I'm unwilling for this to be happening, because this is not what's supposed to be happening. This is not what's good for humanity, for children, for women, for humans. But instead, we're all, oh, we'll just figure it out. We'll just figure it out. You know? And so you get to choose to partner. If you want to be married, you get to have a marriage that is thriving, right? And you get to have a partner that wants to work just as hard as you to make it amazing, and get to have a partner that is also behaving like a fucking adult and doing their work so that you don't have to do it for them. Right? Totally. Like, you get to have whatever you desire, and you get to not be married and know that you have an amazing partnership, or be single and know that you still have worth and value. But like, the biggest threat to all of these systems that make us sick is a woman who loves herself. Like, that is the biggest threat to all of it. A woman who says, I don't have to follow your rules or your script. Yes. That's actually how it will change the world.
And it'll change the world because you'll be fucking happy and grounded and honest and truthful and on purpose and in alignment with your soul. Like, your sole purpose is not to get married. Your sole purpose is not to be in a fucking relationship. Like, relationships are amazing. I'm not saying they're not. Like, it can add to your life for sure. I have a great relationship that's very challenging in moments when our wounds are activated. But we communicate and we work through it and we have so much self-awareness and we have conversations and then we shift and evolve and we grow from it. It's like, what
There's
is
more
the
love
if you're thinking of getting married, like, first of all, why? I know I said this earlier, but like, really, I want you to sit with that. Why? Why do you need that? What story is attached to it? Is it just an intrinsic gut feeling? This is just a yes. It's just a truth. Or is it, oh, because story, reason, because what, like, you can also just choose to be in a relationship. Like, that's another option. Maybe I'll write a book about that. Like, the sovereign woman for life. Like, it doesn't mean anything if you don't get married about your relationship. You can also just be in a relationship. Guess what? Your breakup, way cheaper. Your breakup, way simpler, way cleaner. And yes. I'm not against it. Like, maybe one day I will. I can't make any promises either way for my future self. I don't know her. But currently in my life this far, when I was in my 20s, I absolutely was like, yes, for sure. I'm getting married to Charlie. We're going to have the baby. We're going to name our kids this and that, whatever. But that was my conditioned self. And then the more and more and more I've untethered from who I thought I was and let go of the script and burn the script again and again and again, and keep getting to know what's underneath and the woman who I really am, I don't need that. I'm not against it. I don't need that. Unless I need like a visa or something, but I got one of those, so I'm fine. But it's like, I don't need that. Why do I need that? I'm happy to just be in a relationship and let it keep deepening, right? The scripted timeline is going forward. Like, where are we going? Versus the new paradigm of relationship is like, we keep deepening. And do you keep deepening? Right? Like, you're talking about with what you're going through right now with Andrew and the, cause there's also some stuff that you can talk about, but some things you can't even know, like, you're going to go through when you're married. Your partner gets sick, they lose a job, they lose a parent, they lose, like, so many things can happen.
All those things
life.
Have happened.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I started saying them as you, and I'm like, shit, you guys have been through a lot. You're doing great. But it's like, when, and also letting the relationship change and morph and evolve, because it. Like, the problem with the old paradigm of love and relationship is people have absolute complacency. They sign this contract on this romantic day in the middle of the performance, and they're like, yes, till death do us part. And then they become totally complacent, as opposed to, this is, your relationship is like a living, breathing thing. And if you are not, first of all, tending to your own relationship with yourself, that living, breathing, beautiful being that you are, and your partner's not tending to themselves, and then you're also not tending to the relationship, good fucking luck. How many couples got divorced during COVID? There's nothing wrong with divorce, but how many relationships got magnified? How much got magnified during that time, when people actually weren't in their, all their distractions of work and being busy, and everybody had to be home, and all they had was alcohol and their devices and food to numb themselves? They had to face what was really going on, and it was screaming so loud they couldn't ignore it anymore. So what is the state of your relationship? Where are you making this choice from? You are responsible for your own self in your relationship, for your part. And, you know, if you get to choose to make decisions blindly, like get Botox because everyone else is, like do get lip injections because everyone else is, get married because everyone else is, be in a relationship because everyone else is, because you don't want to be the single person at a wedding. You're just a person. Your relationship status doesn't define you. Your face not freezing and not moving at all doesn't define you. What your body looks like doesn't define you. All of these superficial things, the grandiosity of your wedding does not define you. What those things actually do is keep you from you. They keep you from you. So dial it back. Like, come back to your own heart, your own body. Get to know your own soul and let her lead, because that's where the fairy tale you're looking for out there, it's not out there. The beautiful, rich, meaningful life that includes feeling it all and being connected to it all comes from being connected to that place and making these kinds of decisions from that place, and not letting this little, you know, fantasy teenage princess make your decisions.
And when you know better, you do better. You know, like that, yeah. This, if you have married the wrong person, if you did wish you did your wedding differently, like, okay. Yeah. Now you know better. Like, you still have the rest of your life, right? Like, how many women, and we've done a million episodes about breakups and divorce, but right, like, my life is over when they get a divorce, right? Rather than no, the next chapter of your life has just begun. Right? Yes. Every ending is a beginning, right? Yeah. And the feminine way of life knows that. The truth of nature is seasons and cycles, beginnings and endings, all day long, let alone in a lifetime. But we just think we're supposed to go up and up and up and up and up and up and up, chasing the ladder, right? We wish for you to understand that wherever you are in your journey right now, if you are single and you want to get married, if you got married and got a divorce, if you're single about to attend a bunch of weddings, like, wherever you are, life can literally fucking change in an instant, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like, in an instant, like tomorrow, you could have a completely different experience and get a call for something that changes your life. And when you're present to your life, as you always remind us, that's where the magic is. That's where everything can happen. And for me lately, the only way I can actually hear my truth is if I slow down. And that's why the wedding industry, social media, capitalism is, if let's keep you distracted so that you don't feel what's really happening. Let's keep you distracted so that you don't know your true feminine power, right? And that's what the work is now. Like, that's what I'm in service to. That's what you're in service to. That's the true coming home, to know your own authority and your own innate wisdom and your own truth, the new truth.
Yes, the new truth.
So here that's we go. It for me.
Yeah, so beautiful. My favorite thing you said was about, well, everything, but also what stood out the most was about the money piece, and like how if you're going to spend tens of thousands of dollars on this day when you could invest that in something that changes your life, you know, versus
you can make
fantasy.
Money on. Yeah. You could make more money if you invest it.
Versus exactly turn that money into more money, versus this fantasy day. Like, oh my God, it's your life is your own. Stop performing for everyone else. You matter. You are beautiful. You are worthy. You are lovable. You do not need everybody else's approval or society's approval to tell you who you are. So we love you. We support you. Let us know how you feel about this episode. Just spread the word to all your fairy tale fantasy friends, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, it's Kate. Thanks so much for listening to the New Truth Podcast. For more of Catherine and I, come hang out with us in the New Truth Movement Facebook group. We are in there. That's where we're sharing all about our programs and our free workshops that we do. You can come join us there and ask as many questions as you want about the podcast episodes, about dating, relationships, any struggles you're having out there. We would love to support you. So come hang out with us in the New Truth Movement Facebook group, and we will see you soon.